Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Given last night's explosive episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac, we wanted to bring you guys a very special bonus episode today. I spoke with Candace Dillard-Bassett so that she could address the altercation. Plus, we dig into some of the other drama from the season, and she gives an update on her music career. Before we hear from Candace, I also want to let you guys know we'll have another bonus episode out tomorrow with Monique addressing the incident at the winery and more. Here's Candace's interview. All right, guys, we are here with Candace Dillard-Bassett from Real Housewives of Potomac. How are you, Candace?
I'm doing really well. I'm enjoying just being in the house. I don't need, like I said earlier, I don't need any eyebrows. I don't need a bra. I'm just here, just having a good time at home.
And you said just before we started recording that Chris is off golfing today.
Yeah, his new favorite pastime is playing golf. If he's not on the golf course, he's in the house, like, practicing his swing. That's his new thing. And I'm just like, whatever you do, do not let go of any of these golf clubs in front of my windows, on my walls. Like, that's my concern.
But oh, gosh.
He is in golf mode. Yeah.
And you are not in golf mode.
She's not a golfer now. I'm good. Get on the golf.
Okay, well, to start off, I do want to take us back to that night at the winery. I want to discuss a little bit of the events there and kind of if you could pinpoint the moment where things for you just went left.
It's funny because the way that you remember or recall things, especially when almost a year has gone by and then seeing it kind of play out, There are always nuances that are different. And I don't remember being so flippant and like, oh, whatever, twirling. I knew I was twirling around, but I was really, I guess, trying not to turn this into what I knew Monique wanted it to be. I really didn't want it to become an argument. And I wish still to this day that I had not engaged her as I had really done in every previous instance where she was trying to start an argument. And I wish I had just walked away. But to answer your question, I don't really know that there was ever a moment for me.
Yeah.
The entire time I was trying to not make this a serious issue. I was trying to not have it become what it became.
Yeah.
It was comic relief. I was trying to be funny. I was trying to keep it light. I was also tipsy. And when I'm tipsy, I'm very, you know, bubbly and like happy. And I think I was saying like, I love everybody. Like I was, that's where I was. So there was never a moment, even after she made contact and flicked my hair, I was still like, oh, you're touching me. But I never thought that it would go to where it went to.
Right, right. Well, even if you look back at the start of the event, right, it was kind of like everybody getting together. Giselle had just won her award. We're at a winery.
Right. Like a literary award.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So it did kind of start off as one thing and really ended in a completely different way.
It was so bizarre because really the majority of what you see in that episode, we were talking about Ashley. That was Ashley's moment where we were, you know, truly concerned about her well-being and her mental state with her husband, who once again caught in the streets doing whatever he's doing. We spent the majority of that time at the table, as you saw, talking about her. And honestly, when Monique and I started going back and forth, we were getting ready to wrap up. That was like the end. We were getting ready to leave.
Wow.
And I remember Karen walking over to get her purse. I remember Giselle and Robin had walked to the right of me to get their coats. Ashley eventually went to the bathroom because we were getting ready to leave. This was like the end of the night. So, and I say that to underscore again, how unexpected all of this was. But again, in hindsight, I can say that Monique wanted this. She was looking for an opportunity to engage with me. And you saw that play out in previous episodes at Ashley's dinner, at her lake house. It was all a buildup. And she was looking for this opportunity to have something with me when what she really needed to do was be having these conversations with other people.
Yeah. Well, you said earlier, you know, you wish you had just walked away, you know, obviously in hindsight. But is there anything else that you wish maybe you had done differently earlier than this incident, prior to this incident, with your friendship with Monique?
I mean, if I were a mind reader, sure. Right. I wish I could have read her mind and known that she was, in quotes, upset about whatever. And I say it in quotes because let's just keep it real. Monique didn't have a reason to be upset with me. What all of these things that she's saying now and all the things that she's had her brother and these bloggers and these people that she's paying to defame my character over the last year, all of that was sort of reactionary to keep her from being in these moments that she's in right now, where she can't lie and spin because 6 cameras don't lie. And I can't be accountable for what I don't know that I've done. I had done all of these things to her and she thought I was talking about her behind her back and I was plotting and I was spreading rumors and I was, you know, inviting Charisse to get back at her or whatever she said to ruffle her feathers, you had ample opportunity to come to me and say, hey, why are you doing this? And you heard her say in that audio, oh, we're going to talk about this off camera. And she literally ran over to me after she tried to ream me at the table. She runs over to me after the cameras go down, hugging me and laughing. And I'm pissed because it's like, why are you coming at me like this at the table when we had just had lunch and discussed that we were willing and ready and able to move forward in our friendship? And furthermore, be forthright and forthcoming with one another if we ever felt like there was an issue. That was discussed. And I will gladly ask for the flashback and the tape roll of those moments at that lunch that we had. Right. So for her to be cooking up or pulling from her hind parts all of these reasons for her being upset with me to the tune of literally trying to beat me up, that you can like behave this way and feel nothing for the way that you have made me look and feel, to assassinate my character when you know that you are the reason that we are in this place, the reason that the group is fractured, the reason that everyone is in disarray and everyone's talking about this fight is because you lack the emotional intelligence to come to someone when you have an issue. Or you didn't have an issue and you were looking for a moment and you took it too far.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Right. Well, I want to talk about the days following the incident and kind of what was going through your mind, how Chris reacted to everything when you told him. Like, what were those couple of days after the altercation? What was that like for you?
I was numb. I was angry. I was in shock. I was embarrassed. I was replaying it in my mind just to, you know, to see, like, could I have done something to prevent this? Could something different have been done for us to not be here? And Chris was, at that moment, we had talked about it, but it hadn't really been completely fleshed out because it was mostly just me, like, in my head and being upset. So he was really just supporting me. And when we finally did talk about all of the details, he was hurt for me. He was embarrassed for me. He was in shock. And I think both of us were sort of waiting for the Samuels to reach out and make it right and say something about why this happened and how we could move forward. And that never came. And what came instead was a barrage of rumors and lies and character assassinations on me. Lies claiming that I threw a glass of wine on Monique to initiate. Then it was I threw a glass at her. I heard that I threw a bottle at her. And that just took it, for me, on a psychological level, that just took it to another level that I couldn't handle. Like, I mentally was not able to handle that. I still don't know how I'm here.
I think the question everybody wants to know is, have you spoken to Monique since the incident?
I have not said a single word to her.
Wow.
Because why? Why would I? Why would you speak to the person who physically attacked you and defame you and your character?
Right.
I would venture to say no.
Yeah.
No. So no, and at this point, there is nothing that I need to say to her. I have no words for a person who can conduct themselves in the way that she has. This person she's someone's mother. She's the mother to three people. How embarrassing.
What about Chris and Chris? Because I know that they did have a pretty good, you know, bromance kind of friendship. Have the two of them been in touch at all throughout all of this?
They have spoken only very recently. Recently, as in like in the last month.
Wow.
And I believe that my husband reached out to Chris Samuels first, really just to say like, hey, are you going to say anything to your wife about continuing to spread lies and perpetuate lies and allow people that are clearly like orbiting around you and your family to spread lies about me, about my wife, Chris saying this to Chris Samuels, to spread these lies about my wife? Like, when is it going to stop? And they did have a conversation. It's, you know, if my husband wants to talk about what they talked about, that's for him to discuss. I'm not going to discuss what they talked about on the phone, but they did speak recently, like in the last month.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing all that. I mean, it's definitely important, I think, to hear everything that you felt and everything you went through. So I do want to say thank you for sharing that. But also, you know, I do want to talk about some other things that have happened over the course of the season, because I know our fans are curious about your perspective on some other things. The first thing I wanted to bring up is, you know, you've been so close to Karen over the years, and she's really been open about everything that she and Ray are going through in their mm-hmm. relationship this season. So were you surprised to learn everything that was going on between the two of them, or had she spoken to you about everything they were going through?
I was surprised that she was speaking about it so openly, but I used to talk to Karen a lot. I've spent a lot of time with Karen, you know, outside of filming, outside of cameras. I would talk to Karen a couple of times a week. So I knew to some extent that there were things going on. But, you know, that it wasn't my business. It wasn't my stuff to talk about. So I never brought it up. But I was very shocked that she was bringing it up, because Karen she's very judicious about what she shares.
Right.
And it was shocking to see her being so open in that way about her marriage.
Yeah. You're referencing how Karen can kind of keep some private things private, right? And, you know, mm-hmm. we saw Robin joke about the pizza prank at Karen's housewarming. So I want to know your take on all of the speculation about where Karen Huger lives or has lived in the past. Have you been to all of the homes that she's lived in?
I have been to two of her homes. I don't think I went to the home that they originally sold.
Okay.
Because I didn't know Karen when she sold her their original home.
Right.
But I have been to the two others, the huge castle in Great Falls. I've mm-hmm. been to that house, and I've been to her new home where she moved to back into Potomac. I honestly, you know, I don't know that it's as much of a, it's not as big of a deal, and it's not as much fodder as people try to make it out to be, you know, Karen's living situation. I think that Karen does herself a disservice by making things more of a big deal than they have to be. I think if she was just like, yeah, well, you know, we're moving and this is why we're moving and we're renting here and we're renting because of A, B, and C, what's next? I think it would take away some of the craziness around it, and it would give her power back. But like, she gives her power away by making it this like, well, it's a, you know, it's none of your business, or it's a secret, or we're going to do what we're going to do. And, you know, and that's what makes it fodder for the group.
Right. Well, no, that's interesting you say that, because, you know, a lot of the women have pointed out that Karen is not always honest, or she's hiding things. And, you know, we've even seen it on this season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with like the Denise Richards drama. Oh, you gosh. Know, like, what is the yes. truth? Like, what are you hiding? So, I mean, from your perspective as a housewife, do you think that you are, you know, obligated to share all aspects of your life on the show?
No, I wouldn't say that we are obligated to share everything. But what I will say, and what I have said to, you know, anyone who's ever asked me about being on a show like this, is that when you come on a show like Housewives of Wherever, you have to be prepared to talk about your life. And if you know that you have skeletons in your closet, that you have affair rumors, or that you've had an affair, or that you have illegitimate children, or that you have tax issues, you have to be prepared for that stuff to come out. And the smart thing to do is to get ahead of it and talk about it before it becomes an issue. And if you don't want to do that, be prepared to, you know, hire an Olivia Pope to help spin it, or, you know, snuff it out, or take away the life that it's been given.
Right. Well, I mean, looking at your time on Housewives, is there anything that you regret sharing on the show, or something that maybe you wish didn't come out on the show?
No, not yet.
I like that you're like, not yet.
Yeah. So far, you know, I think that the reason I'm able to sleep at night, and I can kind of put every season to bed when it's over, is because I have been very honest. I've been very forthcoming. I'm crying every episode. I'm willing to bring my mama drama and my half brother drama and my drama with my husband and my bonus kids and all of that to the table. And it's not comfortable. And it's, you know, a lot of times it's hard to talk about, and a lot of times it can be embarrassing, and it has caused me strife in my personal life, you know, with my family and my mom. But you have to be willing to talk about your life, and it's not always comfortable. So it's par for the course. It's what you sign up for. At this juncture in Housewives history, you would be a fool to not have done research and watched at least a season of the show that you're going to be on to understand the culture and understand like what it's like being on these shows. And the ish hits the fan sometimes, and you have to be willing to own up to it and talk about it at least to some degree.
Well, I'd actually love to hear more about your family. I mean, let's start with your mom. How are the two of you doing today? We saw last season, you know, there was a lot going on with the two of you, but how are you guys doing now?
We are doing a lot better now, surprisingly. I think what I've always said is the gift and the curse of these shows is that they give you a really unique opportunity to shine a magnifying glass on your life. And you get to see yourself and the way that you interact with people in a way that most people don't get to experience. It's like, how often do you get to watch yourself argue with your mama on national television? Like, that doesn't happen. Or with your husband. So it really gives you a chance to see the way that you come off, the way that you argue, and the way that the dynamic that you have with the person that you're arguing with. So I think that has been the gift and the curse for both of us, is that it's been great to get to see our dynamic and the way that we can improve it. But it's also been hard for my mom to see herself in that way, because she's not used to, you know, seeing herself flustered and getting upset. And so, I paid for that. in a lot of ways in private.
Right. Well, you mentioned Chris and his kids. What is your relationship with them now, both of you?
Our relationship is great. They were just here for about a month in the summer, like right around the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And we had an amazing time. We were cooking. We were playing with Legos and dolls and going out to the park every other day and watching movies and just like spending time together, which we don't get to do for long periods of time usually because they don't live in the state. So it was really great to get to, number one, watch Chris get to really be a dad, like a hands-on dad. And he's a really amazing father. He is attentive. He is responsible. He was teaching me things, you know, about being a parent and really putting my mind at ease about becoming a parent, just watching him be an amazing dad and be firm, but be kind and be understanding. His kids, they respect him and they look up to him, and you see that. And it was really like nice to see him be loved on and to see him love on his kids like that.
Right. Yeah. No, I can hear it in your voice. I feel like you're smiling as you're saying all of it. You know what I mean? I mean, and for you too, like when you put on that stepmom hat, do you feel like it's practice for you guys having your own kids one day?
A little bit. Yeah. You know, it's, I respect, number one, their kids, the kids, their mother. I respect their mom because she has raised really kind, smart, well-behaved children. Like, we will go out places with the kids and people will stop and just marvel at, oh my gosh, these kids are so well-behaved. They're so sweet. And, you know, they can get rowdy and rambunctious and they run around and do whatever, but they are kind, very well-behaved children. And that is a testament to their mother because she has them the majority of the time. So I'm proud to be able to say that I have contributed or I'm able to contribute to some of that. But I tip my hat and I give all credence to their parents, their mom and their dad, who have done a great job of raising them. And it does show me, just kind of gives me some tips on the kind of parent that I want to be to my own kids. And it excites me to think about integrating my biological children with my bonus kids and what kind of big brother and big sister they will be to any little people that possibly come out of my loins.
How old are the two kids?
They will be, my bonus daughter will be 8 very soon, and my bonus son just turned 11.
Okay,
he turned,
those
he actually
good
turned
ages.
11 like right around the time that they were visiting us, so we got to have a little birthday celebration with him, which was nice.
Got it. That's cute. Those are good ages, I feel like, right? You're past like the crazy toddler, like young kids age. They're kind of getting into their own.
Exactly. They're their own little people. They have their own personalities. They're like learning, you know, who they are, what they like. It is a fun age.
So then, I mean, I have to ask, where are you in the family planning process? I mean, obviously you've got your eyes on these bonus kids and you're like, oh, okay, I can see how this might go. But are there any plans in your future? Near future, I should say.
Yes, maybe. Yes-ish. We it's a daily conversation. And at this juncture, it's really kind of getting the timing right, because there are a lot of amazing things going on for both of us. I just wrapped a Christmas movie for BET, and that was stressful and grueling. And I am in grad school, which I will be in. I'll be in grad school for the next year and a half. And then, of course, the show is a big part of my life and having to be present for that and react to that. And then I'm working on music. I'm working on an EP. And then once the EP is done, I will want to tour with my music. So there are a lot of things going on that being pregnant might put a damper or get in the way of me being able to travel and tour or do other film or television projects or, you know, really be fully invested in cussing and fussing and screaming and being in drama with my girlfriends on our show. So it's like really rationalizing in my mind, like how I could do all of that and carry a child and then have a child and be present as a new mom.
Right.
I know that it takes so much out of you, and it's a huge undertaking.
No, that makes sense. I mean, you got a lot on your plate right now, right? So where does the baby fit into that at the moment, you know? Right. Well, I do want to talk, speaking of new moms, I want to talk a little bit about your relationship with Ashley. You know, we've seen some ups and downs over the years, and this season you were the one to receive some sensitive information about Michael. So take us back to the lake house and what was going through your mind when you got those text messages.
I was shocked. Like, my mouth was on the floor. I was shocked. And even watching it back, it's hard to believe that it actually happened the way that it did. And a lot of people have said, oh, you planned it and you had a blogger. You planned with a blogger to send that to you while you were filming. And my response to that is, I can see how you might say that, because it is that strange that I would get those texts while we are filming. But as you know, we film hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to bring Potomac to all of our fans and all of the viewers. And that's why, because you never know what you're going to catch.
Yeah.
I was literally just getting ready to go to dinner, and I was zhuzhing my hair and, you know, making sure my chicken cutlets were sitting right in my boobs and my makeup was doing what it was supposed to do, when my phone goes off. And it's like, oh, okay, well, let me get to my phone and, you know, see who's texting. And it is literally a friend of mine. She's actually a client. She was one of my pageant consulting clients that I've known for years. And she didn't know that I was filming. She didn't know that I was away. I hadn't really spoken to her in probably a few months, but she knows that I'm friends with Ashley. Everybody knows what Michael has done in the past. And so she reached out to me because she knows that I know Ashley and that I am privy to Michael's behavior. And whether I had received the information on camera or not, it was so gross and so shocking, I would have found a way to get her that information.
Well, we see you turn to Giselle. I mean, did you also immediately think, like, I can't hold this information on my own? Who else can I share it with?
What happened was, I knew that she needed to know. And that was, I don't know if that's like a girl code thing or if that's just a respect thing. If my husband was out here in these streets after he'd already been caught out here in these streets, asking to take women to hotels and, you know, doing whatever he's doing, bragging about having a boyfriend and a wife, somebody better tell me, because if I find out and I know that you knew, it's going down. Like, yeah. We're going to have major words. And it's just, she needed to know. But I knew that I couldn't tell her. I was afraid to tell her. I was like petrified to say anything to her, probably mostly because we had just made up, and I don't know that she would have received it from me. I feel like it would have, she maybe would have thought that I was, you know, being disrespectful to her marriage or being dramatic or trying to, you know, have a moment for television. And I knew that Giselle and Ashley were and are good friends. They are good friends. Giselle supports Ashley and always has supported her since they've gotten over their drama from many moons ago. And Giselle respects Ashley, and Ashley respects Giselle. So I immediately knew that I had to tell her so that she could tell Ashley.
You think it maybe lessened the blow a bit coming from Giselle?
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, like I said, coming from me, it might have felt like a bit of a slight to her. But coming from Giselle, not so much.
Well, looking back to last season too with Ashley, do you regret some of the comments that you made to her, like in person and on social media for that matter?
What I will say about my comments is that Ashley knows that my comments were made in response to the things that she was saying about me on the show. I had no idea that Ashley was in labor. I don't follow Ashley. I don't talk to anyone who is going to talk to me about Ashley's whereabouts. I was simply commenting on the show. And the gag is Ashley knows that too. And she was using that moment in her interview to gaslight and make it seem like I had some personal vendetta against her and I was coming after her while she was in labor. And she knows that's not true. Could I have addressed the way that she was speaking about me on the show in a less crass fashion? Sure. But don't lump my response to what you're saying about me in with me attacking your family. I was not attacking you or your family. And furthermore, I'm very happy for Ashley that she is having the family that she wants, having the children that she wants. I respect her as a mom, and I want her to have all of the children and all the desires of her heart that she so chooses.
Did you reach out to her when you found out about baby number two?
I did not. I have not reached out to her. And you'll see why later in the season.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Before we wrap up, I do want to get an update on your music career, because we know we see you working on this remix this season. You are putting yourself into the music. So tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, first of all, I'm really excited about all of the positive vibes and all of the great response that I've gotten from everyone who did watch the last episode where I was recording the remix to my single, I See You. It was just really sweet. So I just would like to thank everybody that had positive things to say, and everybody that downloaded the new single is still available on all streaming platforms. And I am currently working on a full project, more than likely an EP. I may have enough songs for an LP, for an album. I'm not sure yet. We're still kind of figuring out how we're going to do that. But I have just a great team of producers and co-writers around me that are making this process really seamless and really fun. And I'm really excited about the music. It's going to give you R&B. It's going to give you a little bit of rock. It'll give you some pop. It's going to give you some of everything just mashed up together. And I'm hoping to have something ready for you by the top of the year.
Okay.
But Corona has put a monkey wrench in some of that, but we're working really diligently to have some music, or at least a single, ready for you. And the single that I'm thinking about releasing first is very accurate to where I am in my life right now.
Okay. Will you give us like a little snippet? Will you sing for us, Candace?
Oh my, I cannot sing any of it for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away. Because if I sing it, I'll give it away.
Right.
But when I can sing it for you, you know, I'm always ready to sing a live version of the right. song.
That's true.
I'm always ready.
Yes. Right, we'll just give you a call so and when you can I sing can. It to us.
Yes. Oh yes, I'll be ready.
Awesome. Well, Candace, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited with everything that you have going on. I'm so excited to see where things go next for you.
Thank you. Me too. It's going to be wild and crazy, but all good stuff.
All good stuff. Thanks, Candace. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right.
Bye.
Take care.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.